You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Special housing areas is the joint council and government attempt to solve the housing crisis in Auckland. Certain areas are being fast-tracked for residential developments, with all developments being carried out under the Auckland Housing Accord. The aim is to provide affordable housing under criteria A or B, or a combination of the two. Under criteria A requirements, only 10% of the development has to be relative affordable. So what does the council mean by relative affordable? A dwelling is classed as such if it will be sold for no more than 75% of the Auckland region median house price, which in May, according to the Real Estate Institute of New Zealand, would be $540,000. Criteria B requires 5% of dwellings to be sold at a price where the monthly mortgage payments do not exceed 30% of Auckland median household income. This means that at least 90% of the new houses produced would be what the council might call not affordable. Wire producer Mundus Orabek went out to one of these special housing areas, SHA number 62, on Uarangi Road in Mangere. He met up with Kiani Matata Sipu, Bobby Joe Pihima, and Ilmaz Gravis, who showed him the land in question.
Okay, down there.
Right, kind of that.
So, the stone fields itself are, so they're a historic reserve, so they're sort of owned by Auckland Council and whatnot. But essentially, I don't know the exact boundary, but I'm pretty sure it's from like this gate.
Yeah.
Okay, this way.
So it shows that. All the way down here.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. So that community there, where all those houses are, majority of it's all one family, and that's all our family who have lived there for since the Waka landed in New Zealand that long ago. So it's more than 800 years ago, more than longer than that.
Yeah.
And this land here was also once owned by our ancestors, but in 1863 it was confiscated as punishment for our allegiance to the Kingitanga. So it was confiscated land, and then it was onsold to the Wallace family, who have then farmed it for generations since.
Okay.
So we're now in a position where that family have onsold that land to Fletcher's to build 500 houses.
Yeah.
But it was once ancestral land. It still is ancestral land.
The community which Kiani and Bobby Joe are a part of is right next to the SHA on Uarangi Road. They have formed the group Soul, Save Our Unique Landscape, to oppose the development of this particular piece of land. Kiani.
So Soul was founded by a group of cousins. We are all whānau to Ihumata. We all whakapapa to Ihumata. So our parents, our grandparents for generations have lived in Ihumata, and we are descendants of them. We all currently reside in Ihumata. And when we heard about the SHA, we wanted to form together to oppose it, because what you need to understand is that there's a threat to the stone fields and there's also a threat to Ihumātau Pā. So Ihumātau Pā is not well known within the community, but it has huge historical significance for Auckland. It is the longest continual settlement of Māori. It is a place where, you know, the first Māori king, Potato Te Whiriwhiri, once lived. It has a huge history in this area, and it is really unique because it is one of the only living papa kāinga still active in New Zealand. And so the three streets that make up Ihumātau Pā are essentially still family. And so the way that we live, and the fact that we have a living, breathing marae there, and the relationship that we have to this land is unique not only to us and not only to Māngere, but to Auckland and to New Zealand. And so having 500 homes built by a foreign-owned developer and likely going to be bought by foreign investors, those people will not have the same connection to this land. They will not have the same respect for this land. And they will really come in and colonise this space. And so those 500 houses will outnumber the 80 papa kāinga homes, and the Ihumātau Pā will no longer be a pā. It will no longer be a papa kāinga.
It should be noted that the developer Fletcher Residential, a subsidiary of Fletcher Building Limited, is 48% New Zealand owned. The plans are not yet far gone, and who exactly will move in is a question for much later. However, concerns with what this development will mean for the area are still there. We've tried to get comments from the council, from Housing Minister Nick Smith, and from Fletcher Residential, but no one has agreed to talk to us. Nick Smith's office says it's a council issue, and the council is saying that no one is available to make any comments. They did send us a statement on the matter, saying pretty much they're aware of the issues, but refer to the Environment Court's decision from the 2012 zoning area for future development. This decision did recognise that there was significant historic and cultural value to the area, but that most of the sites were located on the actual stone fields, which is not the area in question. Mundus brought up the Environment Court decision with Kiani.
Well, I mean, when you say that they recognise the sites were on the stone fields, like, well, how do you judge that?
If you look at most of the archaeological reports, a lot of them say, you know, there's archaeological sites all through here. People just haven't had time to go through them.
So are you telling me that when they dug up for the airport runway, when they dug up bones on the airport runway, that wasn't a historic site because it was only at the stone fields? Like, you can't say that it's only this area that we've drawn a line around that is the ancestral site.
Kiani also says that whether or not there will be developments on the actual stone fields, it will still affect them.
So if you think 500 houses, if you had a family of five per house, that's 2,500 people brought into this area. Now, that's going to have rubbish. They bring, you know, pets, they possibly bring crime. You know, things like having all these houses would bring rats, and then all those rats then come into this area and kill off all the birds. And, you know, there's all these ongoing effects that you will have regardless of whether or not the houses are built on top of the stone fields. Once one thing gets built, the powers that be will say, oh, well, that happened, so what's the difference if we now do this?
Well, it's been the history of, in a way, wider Mangere Bridge as well, because obviously the wastewater treatment plant, when they built the sewage ponds here, that had a huge effect on the suburb. And the issue of quarrying, digging up mountains, has really decimated the landscape in South Auckland and basically destroyed a lot of sacred sites too.
The question at the core of this issue is, of course, who has the right to land? Whose will goes before someone else's? It can be easy to view the issue like, we have a housing crisis, we need houses, why are these people standing in the way of this? But that implies that there are only two ways. Either you build houses on not yet developed land, or you don't, when in fact there are several other options. Voices are being raised questioning the whole SHA project, saying further urban sprawl is not the answer. If you look at the map of SHAs, all the major ones are still far away from the inner city. You do wonder how new houses in Papakura or Pukekohe is going to solve a housing crisis over 30 kilometres away. Who is going to pay for the new infrastructure needed for these areas is also under debate. The council wants the government to step in. The government argues that Auckland already receives too big a portion of the infrastructure budget. But back to Mangere and Otuarangi Road. Viewing this issue as a small group of people standing in the way of houses for everybody is also ignoring the historic implications of what's happening. Kiani again.
For generations, our people have suffered for the betterment of Auckland. Our grandparents, our great-grandparents have suffered social abuse by various organisations for the betterment of Auckland. So if you look around you, the airport development has encroached in Ikumatau. The wastewater treatment plant was put in our harbour and closed off our river. Our community was the last community to be connected to sewage, even though the treatment plant is 2 minutes down the road. Our community was also the last community to be connected to power, and power used to stop at the bridge and it would start at the first European farmer's house. So the whole Māori community of Ikumatau was the last community to be put on power. And for generations, our people have suffered these types of abuses, and our generation is sick of it. We don't want to have to say to our children, and these 500 houses that have now been built have gone on to desecrate our sacred places, have completely changed the way that Ikumatau part is and has been. And so that's why we got together, and that's why we formed, and that's why we're opposing.
The other side of this is, of course, that there's a housing shortage that has to be dealt with, and I mean, all land will have some kind of history attached to it or whatever. But what was your response to that?
Yeah, and we completely understand that. Like, one of the meetings that I went to, I actually met a woman who is living in a caravan park and needs a house for her and her children. And it sort of made me stop and think and question. And I was actually, at the end of that meeting, I was still very much against this SHA, because there are 3 SHAs going up in the Mangere or Tahuhu area. Just in Mangere or Tahu, there are 3. And, you know, we're not opposed to the other 2. We're opposed to this one. The other argument is that urban sprawl is not the answer to Auckland's housing crisis. And building and developing 500 houses that is going to be on prime coastal land, because this land is right by the coast, it's right by the airport, it is going to be an investor's dream. It is not going to house the people who need the homes. They're fast-tracking all these plans, and it just seems like they're not thinking about it. They're just saying, we're going to throw this at the problem and see if it works.
So are you hopeful that your work will pay off? Like, do you guys think that you will be able to rezone the area and that the developments won't happen?
Yeah. Well, what the situation where we're in at the moment is that Fletchers need to apply to, 'cause currently the land is zoned as future urban, and it was zoned as future urban in 2012 when the Environment Court ordered it to be rezoned. And Fletchers, in order to build this subdivision, have to apply for it to be rezoned again to residential and then apply for a subdivision. What we want to do is stop that from happening, to stop that rezone from happening and stop the plans at that point. Because we believe that there are much better community-driven initiatives that we can have for this area that will have great benefits for the community. It may not be houses, but it will have other benefits for this community. And so
do you have any plans like that?
One plan that was happening before this, it was actually supported by the local board and supported by Auckland Council, was the Mangere Gateway Heritage Project. Now, it wasn't a plan that was, I don't think it was initiated by the people of Ikumata. I think it was initiated by the local board and council. But it was a plan that was going to protect the environmental aspects of this area. It was going to acknowledge and give honour to the cultural and historical significance of this area, and it was going to be a type of educational tourism venture for this community. Now, something along those lines that would actually have more direction from the local community would still be really great for this area. It would benefit the community, it would benefit tourists, it would benefit, you know, the people of Mangere, the people of Auckland, and it will protect the land and keep those historical and cultural values intact. You know, once this land is gone, it's gone. There is no turning back.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.